Amen. Good to be back with you and be in this house. Amen. Worshiping God together. Those songs were a blessing. Amen. Congregational songs, special songs. Amen.
Yes.
You can't tap your toe or pat your lap or something with that. You may need to get saved. Amen. It'd be a good day to get saved right now. We was over at Ponce de Leon the other night and we had a good time with them. And I shared a message. I want to parlay off of that a little bit. Today, if you got your Bible, look with us into the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4 of God's Word. Let's see some things right here. We might skip around a fuzz. You never can tell.
That's it.
I don't like to get too planned out because if the Lord wants to change it, then, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I've wasted all that time. You ever feel that way?
That's it, right?
It's kind of like cleaning your room. I mean, you know, nobody just pulls the door. Nobody's looking in the closet. Acts chapter 4 of God's Word. I want you to see this in the fourth chapter. We're going to begin to read right here, and we'll skip down for the sake of time a little bit. But in the fourth chapter of Acts, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. It wasn't prayerful hands.
No.
You know, we lay hands. We lay the laying on of hands is different than what these fellows are doing here. They're roughing them up.
Yes,
yeah, they're going roughshod on them. They laid hands on them.
Yes.
And so being grieved that they taught, they laid hands on them, put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed.
Yes.
And the number of them was about 5,000. It's quite an audience, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, remember that Caiaphas was there at the crucifixion of the Lord,
right.
John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. I bet that was an exciting crowd. You know, you've seen people. I remember going, I won't say the name of the church because I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I remember as a kid, there was a relative that wanted to go to church for them, and we went there, and I'm telling you, that was the boringest thing I ever seen in my life. I mean, I still remember, and I was probably about 12. And so it was like, what are we going to do at midnight? I don't know what we're going to do at midnight, but they said we were supposed to be there at midnight. And it looked like a good place for a nap, and I ain't sure a lot of them wasn't already taking one. And so we're there, and this is what we see. This is an exciting gang right here. All these high priests and officials and so they've got the presbytery of the local Jewish synagogue, and so they're setting these men to the side and want to know, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all. He's not hand-picking them, is he? He said, be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation under any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, take your word today and speak it. God, we pray you'd speak it to hearts that are here. God, we pray you'd speak it to hearts, Lord, that are watching this broadcast or listening to this message. God, we pray that your Spirit would penetrate the hardest heart, the most calloused heart, the heart that said, I'll never seek Christ. I'll never repent. I don't need church and I don't need the gospel. I pray you take that heart today. Yes. And God, you dissolve it, Lord, with the penetrating of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we pray that you free them and save them. Yes. And rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. God, we pray, reach out and change hearts and lives here and there. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. And the church said, amen. Amen. So in this instance, I want you to follow a couple of things here, because over in the fourth chapter is we're going to see some key words here that I pray that we could zone in on a little bit. And if you'll look with me a little further down. So here they've got this thing straight. Now right now they're in the business of whooping folks for preaching the gospel. And we don't ever know where America's going, do we? Now we're firing firemen because they won't take a shot. Yeah. We're firing cops and nurses and so all of these people that are pertinent to our society. Now we have a government that's ruling with a strong arm. Don't say it won't ever happen in America. We're already seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
We're already seeing it. And so, you know, thank God for some Sioux moms that had the nerve to stand up and protect. Listen, don't get mama mad about her youngins. You'll have a hornet's nest on your hands. And so these ladies called for, by their actions, they called for a meeting in the highest office of the land. And so Merrick Garland's testifying about what happened at a school board meeting. And so we're seeing it. It does make a difference when you speak up. And you know what they're mad about Peter for? They're mad not because Peter killed Christ. He didn't kill Christ. He was there. He watched Christ. He loved Christ. He followed Christ. And you say he denied Christ. He did. But bless God, that was temporary, amen. We've all denied him at some point in time. Let's don't single old Brother Pete out. And so Peter, yes, he denied him, and he done it three times, just like Jesus said he would. But here we find it that Peter has... That's not lightning. Peter has got this thing straight in the fact that his gospel is straightened out, and now he is stirring up the hornet's nest for Christ. And so when they saw, look at 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Most folks get uptight over a title like that, wouldn't they? But they was proud to have it.
Oh, yeah.
They were unlearned and ignorant according to these Sadducees. Unlearned and ignorant. You and I, we're all unlearned and ignorant too, outside of those, the uppity-ups and the muckety-mucks. But we're not trying to impress them, are we?
No.
We want to be on Christ's side. We want to be on God's beating the drum for Jesus. That's what we wanted. That's what these men are doing. But they noticed they're unlearned and they're ignorant. But they also saw something else about them. They saw that they had been, they took note that they had been, look at verse number 13, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
See, they recognized them. They remembered them there at the crucifixion.
Yeah.
They remembered them there on the resurrection morning.
Right.
And so there was witnesses. They're like, hey, you know, everywhere Jesus was, these fellows were. And, you know, they might have had their inner battles going on. We know they did. They all were tempted and tried. And we know there's time they felt like they were out of fellowship with the Lord. But listen, they were God's youngins.
Yeah.
Now, I got a problem with the doctrine that says you can get saved and lose it and get it back and lose it again and get it back and lose it again. It just ain't biblical, folks.
Yeah.
It is not so. So you take the smallest child or the oldest child in this chapel today. If that child is born of parents, you cannot go back and reverse that, can you?
No, sir.
No, it's a birth. And so is a new birth.
Amen.
And people say, well, preacher, I don't know. I don't know if everybody is saved. It says they are saved. Well, I agree with that. But when a person is saved, we're talking about the absolutes of who is saved. If you're saved by the grace of God, listen, you have sonship.
Yes.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. And He knows how to deal with His youngest.
Sure.
He knows how to get the rod out.
Yes, sir.
And He knows how to wear them out and get them back where they hear better. But listen, Jesus said, of all those You give Me, Father, I've lost how many?
None.
John chapter 10. Of all that Thou givest Me, I've lost none. And so, sometimes people, this may be for somebody this morning, sometimes people struggle with their salvation.
Yeah, true.
And it's really, the struggle shouldn't be with your salvation. That's what the devil's doing. The struggle, the inner struggle, is usually with our obedience.
Yeah.
You know, talking about that situation, it was kind of funny about my conscience bothering me so bad and jumping up in my dad's lap. I was telling that again over Pastor Leon because it's so real. But it also has another point in there too. If we would do that with the Lord, we'd be far better off.
Amen.
And so you say, well, preacher, I feel like I'm out of fellowship. Well, that can be fixed.
Sure.
Have you ever seen a parent that loved their kids that wouldn't receive them and hear them and forgive them and wash them and cleanse them?
Yes.
There is no such thing.
Oh, amen.
And I know we got these extreme cases. We're talking about normal people. They love their young ones. And we know nothing about loving our children like Jesus does.
That's right.
We just want to be better at it, don't we? So these men, they've noted something about it. And maybe Peter did leave, and maybe Peter did deny, and maybe they couldn't be found till resurrection morning. We don't know all the fine particulars, but we know one thing. They took knowledge of them. 13 said that they had been with Jesus. So you know what? The Word said in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all forsook Him.
Yeah, it sure does.
But somewhere along the way, Peter came back. Because he's dealing with that little maiden woman, wasn't he?
Yes.
She said, I know you're one of His. And he's like, not me, lady. You ain't getting me beat tonight. Uh-uh, not me. You're not, none of them Romans ain't getting a hold of me and whipping me. No. That's what caused him to deny the Lord three times. Jesus had already forecasted it happening.
Sure did.
He predicted it. He told him He'd do it. Peter didn't believe it, but it happens. And so you know what we find? We find that even the most astute believer of the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes disappoints the Lord, don't they? We do. I do. You do. Even when we don't want to. So watch now. We're getting down to the text here. Beholding the man which... So they took knowledge of them. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them in verse 14. They could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them as manifest, and to all them which dwell in Jerusalem, we cannot deny.
Yeah, that's it.
You see, there's people you're going to witness to and testify to and encourage to come to church, and they're not going to do those things, just like there were oftentimes I didn't do those things. And so I had people invite me. I had faithful Sunday school teachers used to come up every Sunday morning. Every Sunday, my folks didn't go to church, didn't then, do now. And so my folks didn't go to church then, and so what would happen? The old brother Davis, I've told y'all about him before, he had that hair slicked back. That's back when Brill Cream was, rocking it. Brill Cream was the thing to have. He had that hair slicked back, and so he'd pull up on that old C10 72 Chevrolet Hunter Green, and he'd blow the horn a few times, and he'd wait on us old ragtag youngins. If we'd come out there and get in the truck, he'd take us to Sunday school. But if we didn't, you know what he'd do? He'd be back next week. Why? Because he's just faithful that way. And he wanted to get young ones under the Word of God, and I appreciate that. But sometimes we went and sometimes we didn't. And so we see it. We find it right here. That those that are exposed to the gospel, those that hear the Word of God, those that believe the Word of God, God wants to do a work, and He wants to do it early in your life. Deathbed repentance is not a safe bet. There's just one problem with that. What if God doesn't call you? Preacher, I'm going to wait till I'm right there at the end. Or what if He don't call?
Yeah.
If He don't call, you can't come. This is another thing. This is a little bit of heresy going on sometimes in preaching, and that is that you can just get saved whenever you get ready. Is that so? It's not so.
No.
Because if there's no call, you can't come.
That's right.
Salvation is a divine invitation from Christ.
Yes.
And if He doesn't invite you, your little heart is not going to be interested in the work of God, is it?
No.
And you're going to rebel and rebel and rebel. That's why the Holy Ghost speaks. And I know He does this because He's done it to me. And I've heard too many of you say He's done it to you too.
Amen.
But when God calls you, that is an adamant call. And you're not listening. You didn't sleep through it. When the Holy Ghost hems you up and calls you to Himself, you may not come, but you're going to know there was a battle there for your soul, aren't you?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And that's why sometimes people put that foot out in the aisle and they draw it back and they put it out and they draw it back. They want to go, but their whole flesh don't want to go, but they know God is speaking.
Yes.
And outside of that, you can't get in. No man can come to me. Let's take John 6:44. One verse for an example. No man can come to me except the Spirit which sent me draw him. And if the Spirit don't draw you, you cannot come. Very clear in that one passage. But watch Peter. Peter and John is preaching the Word of God, and they can't deny what God's doing, so they know it. See it? We're going to threaten them. We're going to threaten them. Don't speak anymore in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak. But Peter and John said, hey, whether it's in the right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge ye. He said, we're going to do what God said. You do what you want to. And so, look in 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them.
Yes.
So they're threatened. And look in 23, being let go. Being let go, they went to their own company. But I want to tell you, the church was proud to get back together back then, wasn't they?
Yeah.
Woo! They'd been out there in the fire, man. They'd been fighting the devil tooth and nail. They'd been dealing with the council, dealing with the Jews, dealing with the Sadducees, the Pharisees. And man, it was a joy and a thrill to get back together with the church.
Yeah.
The church is a safe place to raise your children, safe place to heal your relationships, it's a safe place to get your family under the Word of God. Listen, I've watched elderly parents. I remember when my mom's not elderly, but I remember when my mom got saved. You know what happened? There was something tragic happened in her life. She lost her mother. And so she listened to the gospel and listened to the gospel and listened to the gospel all those years. And so when her mother passed, you know what happened? The Holy Ghost used that to break her old hard heart.
Yes, yes.
She surrendered to the Lord.
Yes.
You don't know what God had used, do you?
No.
And so here, they're back with the church. They went to their own company.
Yes.
Verse 24, and then they heard the voice was lifted up to God with one accord. Now, this is something we need to focus on, church. Because there's a lot said about this. The last thing the church needs is division. You know what Jesus focuses on? He focuses on adding, and He focuses on multiplying. The devil's in the business of subtracting.
Yes.
The devil's in the business of taking away and dividing, is he not? He's the chief divider. Yes. Jesus is the chief unifier, and he always spends his efforts, Christ does, on unifying the believers and adding to the church.
Yes.
What Jesus does. So when they came together, one accord, they began to praise the Lord a little bit. We're not going to read all that for the sake of time because I want you to go further down with me a little bit. And here in this, the meat of this prayer in verse 29. The meat of it. Peter said, "And now, Lord." You ever needed something right now?
Yes.
You know, maybe you ain't just got been whipped like them boys had. They had festers and they had sores and they had stripes on their back and probably blue eyes and black eyes. And when they come in there, they was a hot mess. Thank God they just took a good old-fashioned beating for the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, here when they find them, they're beginning to tell the Lord here, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Watch, they're not asking to get out of the fight. They're just praying for some unction. Amen.
Amen.
And so they said, "Lord, take note of these things and grant unto your servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word." God, give us boldness. That's all we need.
Amen.
If we get some holy boldness, we'll go back to battle for Jesus, won't we?
Yes, yes.
We'll tell it. We used to preach on the streets years ago. I know Brother Ike and some of those men did here many years ago. Well, those same bullhorns were passed down, and somehow David had ended up with them. And we used them on the streets of Samson and Geneva for quite a bit. Maybe went to Florella a time or two. But in the summer months, it wasn't uncommon. And you'd be amazed at who'd pull up over there, and you'd catch them, and you know, you'd see them after a while. They're over there listening. Peter just wanted boldness. That's all he wanted. He knew God could wake up the hearers and open the ears and the hearts of those that were listening. But sometimes they'd come ask for prayer. Sometimes they would ask for different things. But I tell you, there's something to, and sometimes people still bring it up, how that you could hear, because you could hear the bullhorns all over Samson at night. You know how child sound travels at night. And so people sometimes still bring it up of how they used to listen to God's Word. And I'm going to tell you, you can't plant seed and somebody come by and water it that it don't bring forth fruit. That's what it takes. It takes one to plant and one to water, but God gives the increase, doesn't He? See, He didn't ask us to give the increase. He asked us to do the planting and the watering.
That's it, brother.
And that's what they're doing in Acts 4.
Amen.
So they just want some boldness. They didn't say, "God, get us out of this fight." Just give us some boldness.
That's it.
Yeah, that's why people come together and have the rah-rahs and the pep rallies, if you will. Sometimes businesses have those and different things, institutions of all kinds. And so, you know, people talk about what's going on in America today. I'm going to say something about this, and we'll point to a couple examples that show us there are different views on what's going on. So look back into 17. I think I skipped over this verse. I wanted to read it. But listen, he said, "All of these things we know and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people."
There you go.
Notice that. Here we've got the religious hierarchy of the Jewish faith. And you know what they want to do, Brother Jamar? They want to stop the spread. That's what they want to do. That it goes no further. We want to stop the spread. That's what everybody's talking about right now. And so stop the spread, preacher. Stop the spread. Listen here, what they were saying is that we don't want the Word of God going out and infecting the hearts and minds of the hearers. So what are you going to do? We're telling you to stop the spread. Stop it.
There you go.
Let it go no further among the people. Because they knew the gospel message was different than the Jewish message.
That's right.
And so they felt threatened. They were alarmed. We got to stop the spread.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's going to get out of control. We're talking about getting out of control. I was watching a program the other night. Maybe you saw it with Laura, and she was over at the University of Mississippi. And so it just reminds you of how Saturday after Saturday, Sunday after Sunday, thousands, hundreds of thousands of folks packed in there like sardines in a can,
yeah,
all having the time of their life, ain't they? Unless their team's losing. But they're having the time of their life. And so what are they doing? They ain't worried about stopping the spread.
No.
And so, you know, we find it, you don't see mask one. You know, there's so many different things that people have and have to deal with, and individuals have to look at everything for themselves. But we see it here. This is what these men were interested in.
Right.
We've got to stop the gospel.
Yes.
Stop the gospel. Why? Because it's infectious. And why? Because it changes lives. And it changes hearts. And it changes the way people feel. And it changes the way they believe.
That's right.
They had to stop spread. Got it right there in the Word of God. And so they took their whipping. They took their scolding and they went out of there just as happy as they could be. And look in 29, the closing passage, I want you to see. So here Peter's reciting a little bit of what's been done. And in 29, the meat of his prayer is now, Lord. You ever had a case like that when you wonder what God's going to do for you now? You saved, you've been saved, maybe you've been saved 50 years, more, 60 years. I'm sure some of y'all have been saved a lot longer than what we're talking about. Saved and walking with God. And here Peter has just got on this road. I mean, he's really received it. God's ordained him to be the leader of the church at this time.
Yes.
And so we know later on that torch will be passed to some other men.
Yes.
But for right now, Peter is the man of the hour, and John is his sidekick. And so remember, these were the men that were seeking the Lord on resurrection morning. They were looking for Him. And so they were there. And I promise you, those were sleepless nights while Jesus lay a corpse. And so, they're waiting. And then early in the morning, Mary Magdalene showed up. And Peter there, he's running there. Him and John got there together. And Peter's running there looking for the Lord. I pray to God that we get a thirst to look for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's what they were doing.
Yes.
He said, "Preacher, I know all about Him." Well, they had spent 3 years with Him. They didn't feel like they knew all about Him. They was looking for Him. You know, we need a thirst for Christ and an appetite for the gospel. And you'll find this, the more of the Word of God you eat, the more of the Word of God you want.
That's true.
Isn't that so?
Yes.
It's very habit forming. I had a blessing. And so, you know, it's the further... Have you ever noticed this, church? I bet you have. The more you stay away from God's Word, the more your flesh resists it. Doesn't it?
That's true.
Yeah. You stay away from it, and then there'll be more and more push to stay away from it, to resist it.
Yeah.
That's how the human nature works. But if you feed the inner man, you know what he'll want? He'll have an appetite tomorrow, and it'll be a better appetite and a little more. And this is how we grow in grace. So we see it right here. These fellows are praying. Watch this prayer, and we're going to close out. So they're reminding God, "Now, Lord, behold." We ought to do that, church. We ought to tell the Lord, "Look here, I want you to see what's going on." Listen, we got this in the Word of God that we ought to talk to the Lord as a man talketh to his friend.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And so that's the way our prayer life should be. Don't look like dread. Prayer would be with dread. No, prayer is to be with joy.
Yes.
And so how can I pray? I don't have time. Well, you go down the road, don't you? You drive a little bit and you sit around a little bit. And so, you know, you don't have to go do the long prayers and long rope thing that the Pharisees was doing, but you can pray and find time to spend with God.
Amen.
So here they're telling the Lord, grant boldness. Don't take us out of this fight, just grant us some boldness. It's what we want. Grant boldness. You know what their mothers in Virginia wanted? They wanted boldness. And you know what? They didn't care what happened. Don't get between a mad mama and her babies.
Right.
And so they took on the government of the United States of America because their children had been harmed and threatened.
Yeah.
And so here Peter's praying, God, give us some boldness. Why? Because we got some things to do. And see, in 31, when they prayed, the place was shaken. And where they assembled together, God shook. What would you do right now if God just shook this whole house? You said, preacher, you can't do it. It's too much concrete. Listen, he can flip it over on his belly if he wanted to. God's God. He can do whatever he wants to. And so here he shook it, and the word said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Not living in fear now. Not worried about a good old-fashioned whipping at this moment. No, we got holy boldness, brother. And Peter's ready to go get it done. See this in 32. And the multitude of the believed were of one heart and one soul. How's the church going to be effective? It's going to be unified. One heart, one accord. One soul. You know, we talk about the soul. We talk about the Trinity of man. God has a Trinity inside of man, does He not? It's spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
And so here, they're in one soul. I mean, they're knit together, brother. God has got them right where He wants them. Too bad it didn't stay this way all the time. But at this point in time, they are knit together. You know why they're knit together? They've been in the fight together. And so they're opposing the opposers to Jesus' gospel.
That's it.
And you know, they may have had their hiccups along that 3-year journey, and they may have had times they said the right thing at the wrong time or the wrong thing at the right time. But that's all over now. And they're not forsaking the Lord anymore. No, they're not denying the Lord like they was a couple nights ago. They're not doing that now. No. They're asking God for holy boldness. And so look into 33. Here's the last thing I want you to see. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They prayed for power. God gave it to them. And the word said this, the last phrase of that verse 33, and great grace was upon them all.
Thank God.
What do we need to be an effective church? Great grace.
Yeah.
One mind. One accord. You know what empowered the church in the book of Acts? Those three things we talked about. That's all it was. They believed God's gospel. They saw what they saw. I'm telling you, those men were going out and they were risking it all, all their wealth. They were risking their family's health and safety. They were risking everything that could be risked. Much like those Afghanistan people that got forgotten about it. And so they were left over there to be harvested by the Taliban. And so here, these folks were not left in the hands of the destroyer. They weren't left in the hands of the religious fanatics that wanted to take their life and stop them at whatever cost. And we know that Stephen was stoned to death. So let's not even dare think that that wasn't their motive. Their motive was whatever it takes to stop the gospel.
That's it, brother.
But it couldn't be stopped.
No.
And as we stand this morning, I want to ask you,
amen,
got a question for you. Let's stand again. We're going to be dismissed here in a moment. The one thing I'd like to know today, heads bowed, eyes closed, please, is there anybody in here that would say,
with just the raising of a hand. Preacher, I need a closer walk with the Lord, and I need it now. No one looking around. I need a closer walk, and I need it right now. God sees every hand. That's me. I need it. I need it, and I need it now. It's what I need. God's made provision that we can have it. God's directed us towards it. And He's promised it to us. And all of these things are available through prayer, seeking the Lord, trusting the Lord, fasting for the Lord, asking God. Remember that we see this in Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, where there's three things Jesus said do. He said ask. He said seek.
Yes.
And He said knock. And it shall be opened. Preacher, I've got dangerous days ahead and I need prayer.
Thank you, God.
Don't you believe God will if we ask Him?
Yes, yes.
So they came to the Lord and they said one thing. They didn't say, God, get us out of this fight. They said, grant us holy boldness. Father, I pray You'll embolden Your people today. God, for the things that we face, I pray You'll embolden and strengthen and fortify and empower and unify Your church, God.
Yes, yes.
Lord, we pray that great unction would fall upon us, and that a heavy anointing would rest with us. And
yes.
God, we would go forward and fight the fight of the gospel faith and represent Christ and represent Him well. God, that's our prayer today.
Yes.
Would You do it, Lord?
Yes.
Everyone that's sick and afflicted,
oh,
facing adversity in their health, in their mind. So many warfares going on in the minds of the believer and the unbeliever. God, I pray, would You help?
Oh, God.
Would You minister? Peter asked for the things that he needed, and God, You gave it to him. Lord, would You give it to us today? That we might go out and represent You well.
Yes.
Never fold and never cower to the enemy and the attacks of the enemy and the opposition of the enemy.
Oh, God.
God, would You make us what You'd have us to be?
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. God, I ask You to do it for the glory of God.
Yes, God.
Right now.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.